Good morning. Herb didn't give me any lead-in this morning, so I have nothing to say. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. I guess the lead-in that I should have been thinking about was, I am unworthy. Praise His holy name. Thank you for that ministry. Ephesians chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 7, and we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, our hearts are moved by the words that we have read. We bow our hearts and we say to Thee that we thank Thee for Thy matchless grace. We thank Thee for Thy sovereign grace. Father, we pray as we look this morning into Your Word that You would be pleased to bless us. Pray that as we look this morning at the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, that our hearts may overflow in love and adoration and praise to the One who died for us, rose again from the dead that we might live. so bless this time this morning. Father, if there are any in this meeting who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, we pray that even today you would speak to them. Father, we ask that even today they might be saved. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 12. And verses 1 and 2, and I have quoted them on many occasions, and you have heard them and read them on many occasions. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want this morning to speak to you about the will of God. I have found myself this week speaking to a couple whose marriage is in very real danger of disintegrating. I have found myself on the phone to them, speaking to them about the perfection and the goodness of the will of God. I've also found myself on the phone to a young man in a correctional center, pouring out his heart in tears and saying, "Mr. Gould, why is it every time I get out of prison, I want to do so good. I want to learn to live for the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to do His will. And yet every time I get out, I get myself in a mess and I end up back in prison again." I ended up talking with him about the will of God, about Romans 12:2, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I look back over this year I was conscious of this because this is my last Lord's Day preaching with you, though I will be here on a number of occasions between now and the new year, just worshiping with you, and that is a joy for me. But I had no idea at the beginning of 1999 what the year would hold. I looked forward and had no idea that changes would come about, that things would happen, that the year would be in some ways a very difficult one spiritually, and yet that it would be a very blessed one. A time when even in the darkness the Lord has drawn near and He has blessed Diane and myself in so many wonderful ways and with such a sense of His presence and a knowledge of His grace but at the beginning of the year I had no idea of the changes that would come. That's why I read with you in Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to look with me this morning at some of the things that the apostle speaks of as being the will of God. I have no problems bowing my heart and bowing my head and saying, "Father, you have a perfect will for my life. You have a perfect plan." In Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle tells the Ephesians that God has a perfect plan. Sometimes we get the idea that this world is just traveling and that it's out of control. I want to tell you this morning on the authority of God's Word that this world isn't out of control. First of all, man's wickedness is still constrained and restrained by the God of heaven. That man cannot be or will not be as wicked as his heart would permit him to be. Secondly, that as we look at even at the nation of America, that God is working out the purpose of his will. I guess you and I never dreamed that we would see days of revival in the Soviet Union, in Russia, days of great apostasy in the United States of America. The will of God. God hasn't lost control, you know. God is still on the throne. I laughed the other morning. One of my friends brought to me a copy of an email. And it was about, what if God got an answering system? And you read it right through and it sounds so ridiculous, and yet it's such a blessing to read it, that you're never going to speak to the God of heaven in prayer and hear the words, we're all busy at the moment doing something else. Can you try calling back again? And one of the phrases that really touched my heart was, that God never sends the message, our computer tells us that you've prayed once today, can you come back tomorrow? Give someone else a chance. You see, the God of heaven is so far beyond our minds, our imaginations, our knowledge. We have a God who is eternal. We have a God who is almighty. We have a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. And yet we come to Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul, speaking of God, he speaks of the good purpose of his will towards you and I. One of the blessings I get when I read the book of Ephesians is the Apostle Paul begins in verse 1. And he says, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. I have told you many times that if you had known me when I was 15, 16, 17, and 18 years old, you would never have dreamed that I would ever have become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've used it to many parents and told them, look, don't give up. Because in my own life, in my own experience, God did great things that not only I, but other people never expected. And yet the consciousness within my heart that right from the very beginning, right from the very day that I was born, yea, right from eternity past, God had put his hand upon me. For what reason, I know not. And he had put his hand upon me to make me a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell me, can you look at your life today, where you are with God and what you're doing, and say, this is the will of God. That God has so clearly and so evidently and so abundantly shown me that I'm in the center and the heart of his will. You know, beloved, the very fact that you're sitting in this meeting this morning, the fact that you come to Faith Bible Fellowship ought to register in your heart that you are here because this is where the God of heaven wills that you be. That he want you to be here. I remember in the early days of my ministry, I got a letter from a couple. In fact, I mentioned them last week, Len and Charmaine Reynolds, and the two little children who had been adopted. And I got a letter from them, and I didn't want to read it. I knew what it was going to say. It was going to say, we've been with you now for some months in your fellowship, and if you do this and this and this, we'll stay. But if these things don't happen, we may have to start looking for another church. And I remember I sat down, and I wrote a letter, and I took it to them. And it went something like this. If you want to leave, leave. Please don't stay because I want you to stay. The next time you sit in Norris Green Baptist Church, I want you to be able to lift your eyes to heaven and say, Lord, we're here because it's the will of God for us to be here. We're here because it's where you want us to be. I called them that afternoon and made arrangements to go and see them the next day, and we had a very blessed and special time together. And the following Sunday morning, they were in the meetings. And as they were coming out, Len shook my hand and he said, it was great to know this morning that I have been where God wanted me to be, where God willed me to be. But what I want to do this morning is I want to apply this to unbelievers as well. To those who, you may be in the meeting today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you may be in the meeting today and you're not sure. I used to think it was impossible to be in the position where you didn't really know whether you were saved or not, but I've met people who really didn't know whether they were saved or not. Maybe you're not sure. You're not sure whether the will of God has anything to do with you at all, or whether you know the Lord. I want to tell you what we've got. I want to tell you what we who are saved know. And my dear friend, if you don't have it, I plead with you in the presence of God, don't leave this place today before you come to know the person of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't leave this place until you know with absolute assurance that you have Him with you for the rest of your life and that you're going to be with Him for eternity. You know, I've always said that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised. We're going to be surprised at the people who are there that, quite frankly, we didn't think were going to be there. And we're going to be surprised at the people who aren't there. You know those people who had all the marks? You know those people who had all the words? You know those people who you could count on them being in the meetings all the time, and unknown to the preachers and unknown to everyone round about them, they didn't really know the Savior. I plead with you, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, make this the day that you make your calling and election sure. That you make sure you don't leave this place in any uncertainty about your eternal well-being. Now, last Lord's Day evening, we preached on the adoption of children. And one of the things that is according to the good pleasure of the will of God in Ephesians 1 is that we should be adopted as children. And I said this to you last Sunday. The world wants to emphasize the will of man The Apostle Paul writes about us being in the family of God, and his emphasis is not on the will of man. His emphasis is on the purpose. Look what it says in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You're saved this morning. You know you can't sit there and stick your chest out and say, well, I'm saved because of me. You know you can't stick your chest out and say, God, I thank you for every blessing that I have deserved from your hand. You know, maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, and Satan's been telling you this lie. You don't deserve to be saved. Have you ever noticed that many of Satan's lies are true? Remember what he told the people at the cross? He told the people to look at Jesus and say, he saved others, himself he can't save. That was a true statement. But Satan told them it is a lie. And Satan comes to men and women and to young people and he says to them today, you don't deserve to be my children. You don't deserve to be washed in my blood. You don't deserve to be saved. And he's absolutely right. There's never going to be one person in heaven who was saved because they deserved to be saved. Never going to be one person in heaven who could say to God, God, I demand that you give your son upon a cross and that you cleanse me from my sins in his blood. This isn't about the will of man, beloved. Calvary wasn't about Judas Iscariot. Calvary wasn't about the authority of Pilate. Calvary wasn't about the authority of Herod or the power of the Roman soldiers. Calvary was the purpose, the good purpose of the will of God in pouring out his love for hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. Look what it says in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You know, there have been things in my life when I have bowed my head and I've heard preachers saying you shouldn't come into the presence of God and say why. I don't believe that. I believe God invites us to come, and very often when he invites us to come, he tells us why. I also believe there are times when he invites us to come and he says, now listen, I'm not going to tell you why. I'm just going to encourage you to put your hand in my hand and walk with me. And learn to trust me. For several years I prayed, Lord, why? Then one night when I was praying, I said, Lord, I don't want you to tell me why. Cause Lord, I don't think I could understand it. And Lord, I might not be able to cope with it. It may just be too hard for me. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You know what the word mystery means? It is a twofold meaning in Scripture. It is that which has been revealed, and it is that which will be revealed in God's time. I think of a young man, I've mentioned him before, who looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, if only God would tell me what His will really is. Do you ever get there? Do you ever get to the place where you look at your family, you look at your life, you look at your loved ones, and you say, Lord, what is your will? And you keep praying and you want to know, and the Lord says, I'm only going to tell you so much. The rest, you're going to have to trust me. The mystery of His will, remember, it's according to His good pleasure. According to His good pleasure. He says, our enlightenment, our receiving the wisdom of God, our coming to the knowledge of His will is according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. You know, beloved, I'm so glad today that I have my hand in the hand of the God who works all things according to the purpose of His own will. I'm so glad that I have my hand in the hand of Almighty God, in the hand of the Son of God, nail-pierced hands, and every time I come to Him, He says to me, don't worry. I'm in control. Don't worry. You're mine. You're in my hands. The good says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an eternal inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Tell me, do you ever sit and think about heaven? Do you ever sit and muse on the fact that the God of heaven, the God who created all things, the God who is the sustainer of all things, that He has an eternal inheritance for you? Peter says it's a reserved inheritance. It's reserved in heaven for you. Let me speak to those who may not know Christ. I don't know when my life will end. I don't know how my life will end. I don't know what my circumstances will be at my life's end. But I know this, that the God who works all things according to the purpose of His own will has purposed an inheritance. An inheritance for me. I want you to notice what Ephesians chapter 1 says. In whom also, listen, we have obtained. And one of the great criticisms when I was first saved was that Christianity was always in the future. It was always what they call it, pie in the sky when you die. I have my inheritance right now. I have obtained my inheritance in Christ. I have already got my name written. The inheritance is reserved. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I want to ask you to look forward in your mind to the last breath that you take. To look forward to the last moment that you spend with your loved ones. To look forward to the moment when death comes. What have you got now that's going to be precious at that moment? What have you got now that you're going to take with you past that moment? What have you got now that's going to carry you right through into the presence of God? You know where I received my eternal inheritance? At the cross. And I received it the night I bowed at that cross. And I was drawn by the Spirit of God to faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in whom also we have obtained. It's already mine. It's already mine. And inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Well, that's a pretty good warranty, isn't it? That's a pretty good guarantee. According to the purpose of Him who worketh all things according to the counsel of His own will. See what part of this inheritance is? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. You know, the Word of God talks to me about the inheritance that God has given me that is mine, and that is mine for eternity, and that is mine and it cannot be lost, and it is mine and it cannot waste or be destroyed or be removed. Look what it says in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know what that means? That means that God has given me an inheritance, but that He has called me to be His inheritance. You got that? He has given me an inheritance in Christ, but He has called me. Some doubt what this word calling speaks of. There's no doubt in my Bible. There's no doubt in my Bible. There is, first of all, the call of the gospel. Sowing of the seed, the going forth of the Word of God. That's not the call that's spoken of here. There is the call of the Spirit of God that brings a sinner to Christ. That's the calling that this is. Some like to call it the effectual call. Call it what you will. The end result is always the same. Always the same. And the hope of the call of God upon my life is that I become part of His inheritance in the saints. You know, there are times in our lives when people make us feel special. But I've got to say this to you. If you ever want to feel special, read Ephesians chapter 1. Read Colossians chapter 1. Read John 17. Read Psalm 23. And you'll know what it means to feel special in the presence of the God of eternity. The God who, according to His perfect will, has given you inheritance and made you part of His inheritance. Then look what it says in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. That's the thing that God has purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. You know, I make that real simple. I just say in God's time. In God's time. What's He going to do? He's going to gather together. Who's He going to gather together? Well, the all things in Christ, I believe to be the church of Jesus Christ. Those whom He has purchased with His blood. Some of them are in heaven already. And some of us are still down here on earth. The Apostle Paul says, look, if you look from the beginning and you look right to the end, this is the purpose of God, that at the end He's going to gather together all the redeemed people of God. What a reunion that's going to be. What a gathering that. And there in the midst is the Lamb of God, Jesus of Calvary. You and I are going to be gathered together unto Him. I wouldn't miss it for all that this world has to offer. You know, I had a sweet thought the other day, and many people have probably had it before. I was thinking about the temptation of Jesus. And it says that Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Didn't take him long to describe all that the world had to offer, did it? Didn't take him long. And then you go over into the Word of God in the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul says, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. The will of God, the purpose of God, the outworking of His purpose, is that at the very end there will be a great gathering together. You go over into the Gospel of Matthew, you find that that gathering together is going to be some gathered on His right hand. There's going to be some gathered on His left hand. To those on His right hand He said, come thou blessed of my Father, enter into thy rest. Over into 1 Thessalonians, you find that they that sleep in Christ, the Lord's going to bring with them. We which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the purpose of God. That's what every believer ought to have burning as the hope of their heart. Do you remember there were those who were gathered on the left? they're going to miss heaven. Not only are they going to miss heaven, they're going to hear the Son of God say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." My, what a hope the child of God has. What a hope salvation brings. What a hope being redeemed has brought to the heart and soul of every true believer. But I've got to say to you, when I think of that day, when he's going to gather us all together and take us home, the words of horror that will be spoken to those that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of God today is the purpose of God in the heaven to come. It's to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. But it says in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. It is an amazing thing to me that Jesus Christ could ever be glorified in me. That He could ever have loved me enough to go to the cross, to die, to make me His own. And we're reminded time and time again that it's all by grace. It's all contrary to what we deserved. Tell me, are you going to be in heaven with me? Are you going to enjoy seeing Jesus face to face with me? Are you going to enjoy that great reunion when all the saints of God are gathered home? Oh, I trust you are. I trust you are. But if you're in the meeting today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, I pray, God, that you would not leave this place today without getting right with Jesus Christ, without getting right with God. We're going to continue tonight and we're going to look at the believer's response to the will of God. I guess it should be the believer's response to the sovereign purposes of God. But the issue at this moment in time is, where will you spend eternity? Are you going to be part of the inheritance of God in Christ? Are you going to hear those words of horror? Depart from me. Child of God, you're going to go out of here today. You're going to meet with loved ones that don't know Christ. Show them the Savior. Show them what He's done for you. Show them what He means to you. Tonight at 6:30, we'll gather around the Lord's table. Show the Lord how you feel about Him. Forget everything else that today might hold. Get out and remember the Lord and the wonders of His death. Let's pray together. Our Father, we think of the words of the hymn writer, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind,
but now I see. Father, we pray that this will be the heart experience of some. There are any in this meeting at all who do not know the Savior, that even today they may come. Draw them to Christ, we pray. Before it's too late. Before it's too late eternally. Save them by your grace. For we who are saved, Father, we thank you for the good purpose, the good pleasure of your will. That we have what you have given us in Christ. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing we cannot contain. Lord, may we live for you today. Bring us back again in the evening hour to obey your command and remembering the Savior. And again to hear your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.